Today we want to talk about, learn about, walking with God. Your relationship with Him is very personal, and all of us say we have a walk with God, but what we want to talk about biblically, walking with God. After all of our races are run and we hit the finish line of our lives, the greatest compliment probably that you can be given is that you walked with God. I want, when they are talking over me and I'm in a casket, if Jesus doesn't come soon, I want them to say He walked with God. If they just say that and they play my favorite song, I'll be all right. I want them to say I walked with God. But what does it mean to walk with God? What is it like to walk with God? What does it take to walk with God? We want to cover that today, amen.
Amen.
I certainly hope that you leave here better equipped and better aware and have more knowledge about walking with God than you came. Amen?
Amen.
So what does it mean to walk with God? I want to ask for a volunteer. I'm actually going to carry you the closest. And although you have on heels today, we're going to use those. Come on. I want to talk about what's it like to walk with God. If we're walking along life with the Lord and we get out in front of Him and God is coming behind us, then who's leading? That's not truly walking with God. If God gets out ahead and you tend to lag back, not wanting to do things quite when He wants to do them, constantly recalculating for yourself, is that walking with God? It's certainly not walking with God if you let go of His hand and let Him continue way ahead of you. And He's giving you instructions. He's telling you to turn left. He's telling you to stop. He's telling you to turn right. And you don't really know His plan anymore. You claim to be confused. We claim to not know because we let go of His hand. That's not walking with God. Now, we may claim Christianity. We may even go to church. But if we don't have that personal relationship, we may choose to raise our hands or not. We may choose to sing a song or not when we're in here. But it's the decisions that we make from Sunday to Sunday that really matter. Those are the decisions that determine what kind of relationship you have with God. We're talking about walking with God. Now, if we're walking with God, then our lives reflect the decisions that we've made as we are in sync with God. If God stops, we stop. If God turns, we turn. If God says go, then we go. This is what it's like to truly walk with God. You are in sync with Him, and it's very clear that we are following Him. Amen?
Amen.
Now, people may only see you. They may not see God, but if they watch your life and watch the movie of your life or read the book of your life, it will be clear that you are walking with God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We want to walk with Him. And there are times when we can't feel His hand and we are dependent on hearing His voice. And there are times we cannot hear His voice so clearly, we think. The question is, where was the last place you were with God? If you can't feel His touch, if you can't hear His voice, find the last place you were with Him. He will meet you there if you're truly trying to walk with God. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. But we're talking about walking with God. What does it mean to walk with God? We just talked about that. You're in sync with Him. You hear His voice, and that's the voice you listen to, even though there may be others trying to crowd the airwaves. What does it take to walk with God? That's not easy, because she may want to go her own directions. She may not want to hold my hand because I may take her through the valley of the shadow of death, and she might want to fear evil. She may not realize that I am with her. She may not like my rod. She may not appreciate my staff. She may not be comforted by it. But God is always constant. He is always available. It's not always easy, though. He doesn't always feel nearby. And it can get very difficult. There are times you are in the desert, in the desolate place. The key is, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you need to want to be in the fire with God as opposed to any other easy place. Amen?
Amen.
What are we talking about this morning? Walking with God. We want to hear his voice. We want to be intimately related to him so that we know what he cares about. And we care about what he cares about. We want him to be pleased. Amen? Amen. Now, there are two people that in the Bible are explicitly described as having walked with God. There are people who had compliments about them, but there are two people who specifically and explicitly were stated to have walked with God. One is Enoch. We know this. Very early in the Old Testament, he was translated. He pleased God. He walked with God so much that he never saw death. He was just translated right into heaven. Amen? Amen. Who was the other one? Any names come to mind? Now, Elijah indeed never saw death. But we're talking about, so that's a great choice, beautiful. But the ones who were explicitly stated to walk with God is actually Noah. We don't often think of him that way. But today we're going to learn a little bit about Noah. We're going to learn through Noah's story as it relates to the flood. We all know the flood story, right? We all know it. But today we're going to pay closer attention to the flood story. And through that, we're going to gain a bit more perspective. We're going to learn a little bit more, or at least be reminded, sometimes we need that, about what it is that it takes to walk with God, what it's really like to walk with God. And we're going to learn by looking at Noah, a man who had the greatest compliment you can give. They simply walked with God so that God was pleased and God thought highly of him. Amen? That's the testimony that I want. Last week, we learned about a man who was rebellious, who was selfish, who was vindictive, who was stubborn. And this week, we learned from a man who, simply put, walked with God. What a high compliment. Amen. Amen. Our text will be found in the book of Genesis. And all of the subject matter that we want to cover would be covered in chapters 6 through 8. And you know we don't have time to read all three chapters. But as you find it, God was so tired of man's sin and waywardness and violence against his wishes that he got to the point, can you just imagine this? That he regretted he ever made God. Can you imagine how frustrated and saddened and disappointed he had to be? I've been through things in my life. And as you know, of course, I'm a divorcee. And while I would, if I could do it again, my mind would tell me I would not want to marry my first wife. It was admittedly a mistake in terms of listening to God properly. But let me just tell you this. That's a mistake I'll live with. I would do it again if it meant having my sons. I would do it again. I would never want to disobey God. I'm trying to get you to understand. I'm trying to inject into you this example of what a parent feels like. What it's like when you bring somebody into this world or help bring somebody into this world, the decision that you made that led to that. God feels the same way about mankind, and yet he got to the point to where he was so frustrated, so upset, so disappointed, so, dare I say, angry, that he regretted ever creating man. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being alive at that time and having the Creator regret he ever made you? That's serious. That's some serious stuff. That means we had to go really, 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 really wayward. Really, really wayward. And he just wanted to wipe the whole thing out, but he didn't. He noticed Noah. Just like I hope to do a good job for him, and I want him to notice me. And I want you to do a good job walking with him, and I want him to notice you. Let's look at verses 5 through 9 of chapter 6. And I'll ask you all to read that for me, and then we'll say a few words about it.
God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and
Amen, amen, amen. Despite all of the negativity, despite all of the frustration, God paid attention to this one man. And while our world may be going to hell in a handbasket, if you are endeavoring to walk with God, despite all of what's going on, God pays attention to your desire to hold his hand, your desire to walk with him, your desire to stop when he says stop, your desire to go left when he says left, your desire to move when he says move, your desire to lean fervently into the finish line of your life and to press toward the mark. God notices, even when everything is crazy and chaotic, God pays attention to even one. And I hope that we are all aware of that. And I hope that when we're having difficult times, that we can remember that in the midst of the worst of situations, God still pays attention if you are trying to be with him. Amen?
Amen.
And so Noah walked with God. And so by paying close attention to the events surrounding Noah and this flood, my hope is that we can learn what it took for him to continue to walk with God, because it says here we walk with God, but we know some things about to go down. And I just want to look at this flood in a slightly different way than you may have looked at it before and see exactly what it took for him to continue walking with God. Because how many of you know, even with the boat and even with the flood and even with what was happening in the midst of the flood, he still had to walk with God. And we're going to learn from these events. Amen?
Amen.
So Noah, as we know, was giving very specific instructions. He was told to build the ark. Even before he was told why, he was told exactly how to build the ark, how many stories should be in it, how wide it should be, how tall it should be, what kind of wood it should be in there, what kind of materials you should put on top of the wood, what animals to put inside of it. And one of the things that we don't notice, we read right past it, it's not mentioned in any of the cartoons or the movies. He also told him what food to put in it. We don't pay attention to that. But it's very important. We slip right past it. But I'll tell you, before you leave here today, you're going to understand that that's very important. But here's the key. He followed God's instructions without deviation. Do we do that? When you are walking, truly walking with God, when at the end of your life, the declaration can be put over your casket, he or she walked with God, in sync with him, knowing what pleases him and wanting to do those things and only those things. He followed God's instructions without deviation. It's so easy, as we say we walk with God, to come up with our own ideas and think they're at least as good as God's. It's so easy to want to divert or deviate from what God has said, but what God is telling you to do, he knows what's right. If you live long enough, you're going to find out he was right. So temporarily, we can be distracted when God is not a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We can stray into the darkness, and we do stray into the darkness. To walk with God, we must walk without injecting our own ideas and preferences into the journey. God knows what we want. God knows what we need. But if you're walking with God, you follow his instructions to a T. Amen?
Amen.
And sometimes we don't, but we better hurry up quickly and get back on track. Amen?
Amen.
If you're truly trying to walk with God, this is what you do. Have you ever made the mistake of coming up with your own idea? Especially when God's taking too long. Especially when the journey is longer than you thought. Especially when there's challenges, the valley of the shadow of death, and you start to fear a little bit of evil. And you're not so confident that God is with you. We make mistakes. We rationalize and we start to tell ourselves that God has changed his mind. He has recalculated the course when he hasn't. We listen to the voices and we pick the one that we want. We're encouraging you this morning not to do that. We're trying to walk with God. We want people to say at the end of our race that we walked with God, that we didn't say no, we didn't alter the plan. And just as important as anything, when it gets to be difficult, when things look a little desolate, when they get to be tough, that you did not quit. You did not give up. There are reasons That doesn't make it right. There are reasons to give up. There are reasons your flesh gets tired. My flesh gets tired. The road gets tough. The burden gets heavy. The help gets thin. But we want to make sure that we are walking with God, not letting go of his hand, not lagging behind, and certainly not running ahead, asking him to follow you and to take care of the things the way you wanted them to be taken care of. Amen?
Amen.
So this is what it's like, and this is what it takes to walk with God. Our next point we can make by looking at chapter 7 of Genesis. And let's look at verses 11 through 13. And then we'll skip down to 17 and go through 23. I'll read 11 through 13, and I'm going to get your help when we get to verse 17. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month and 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the deep, the great deep, broken up. And the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. I'll skip on down to 17 and I'll ask you to read with me. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark, keep going. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the mountains were covered, and all the flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beasts, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, and all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land shall die, and every living substance was destroyed.
Amen. Now, I meant for you to stop at 23, but I know how it is when you get going. I should have stopped you myself. But the point here is that we're seeing the details that were involved in the water coming up from the bottom and also from the top, which of course created the flood and created the water that went way above the mountains. And everyone that breathed died, except who? Noah and his family. We're talking about walking with God. What does it take? What is it like? Right? What's required? And when I look at this portion of the story with the flood, we see that Noah followed the instructions of God, did he not? He followed those instructions even though he probably looked rather foolish. God will ask you to do things that look rather foolish. But in the end, you win. And when we see this portion of the story, this is like in our lives, when we do what God's told us to do, I know you've experienced it, and you get to see the day when your faith is affirmed. You get to see the day that's glorious and God honors your obedience. You get to see that day when things are working out. You make that investment. You save that money. You make that decision. You take that job. You turn down that job. You get into that relationship. You leave that relationship alone. And it was hard at the time. You may have looked really, really stupid, either to others or you may have felt stupid yourself. But then you get to have that day when it's like, yes, God was right. I am so glad I stuck with God. I'm so glad I did what he told me to do. I am so glad because I'm alive because I listened. My bills got paid off because I listened. I didn't get beat up because I listened. I have the right wife because I listened. There are those times in your life when your faith is affirmed and your obedience is rewarded. This is a great example of a man who was told something really crazy and he had to do something really unusual because of an event that had never happened. So who in the world would believe him? But he was willing to look foolish in order to please God. Are we willing to look foolish in order to please God? But that's what it's like. That's part of what it takes in order to walk with God. If you want that testimony, if you want that epitaph, that's what it takes in order to walk with God. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. These are the moments that encourage us. These are the moments that uplift us. These are the moments that we feed off of when times get tough. Those moments when God took care of us and we know it. We did the right thing and it was hard, but it paid off. Maybe not that first day, maybe not the second day, but eventually it paid off. And you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you were better off because you listened. You were better off because you obeyed. You were better off because you held his hand, even if it was hard. This is part of what it's like to walk with God. You will be asked to do foolish things or things that look foolish or feel foolish. You'll be asked and expected to follow God's instructions to a T because every bit matters. And you'll have those moments, those blessed moments, those glorious moments when you know it was right to follow God. So it's always right to follow God. Sometimes it even feels right. It feels right when we finally get to see that we are saved because of God, that we are preserved because of God, that we thrive because of God, that we are victorious and prosperous clearly because we listened to God. We have many people on late night television that are willing to sell you something, sell you wealth, sell you security, independence from a job. And if you invest the way they ask you to, if you buy their program, if you come to their conference, you might make some money. But the truth is, most people end up broke. Most people end up broke. In all of these multi-level marketing programs, most of the people end up being the main consumers of the product. They get to move up and they get to make more money when they get more people under them selling not so much the product, but the dream of being what? Wealthy. Laying up treasures right here. And those people end up having to buy product and they end up having it in their garages most of the time. Because you have to buy a certain amount of product in order to get a certain level to have people under you, right? Some people make some money. There's lots of folks that want to sell you stuff. But what God is selling, if you invest and you hang in there, you will always find that he was right. You will always find he had your best interest at heart. You will always find that he was right, and that you're better off. I'm talking about God, walking with God. I guarantee you, if somebody gets on TV and they catch you at the right moment and they say they can make you millions, you'll walk with them. You'll work the program. You'll do it exactly like they said. And to some observers, you will look stupid. You will look foolish, but you will still work it and end up broke in the process. But when we do what God's told us to do, there'll be some moments you'll look foolish. There'll be some moments you'll be down. There'll be some moments you'll feel weak. There'll be some moments that you're not sure you're going to get over. But with God, you always end up over. You always end up with a profit. You always end up wealthy spiritually and very well off naturally. We're talking about walking with God. Why do I use that example? Because the truth is, if we look at all of our lives and add them all up, we have walked with somebody. We have held their hand. We have trusted them. We have done whatever they told us to do. Why? Because they had what we wanted. Does God have what we want? If he does, then we'll hold his hand, even during the tough times. Amen?
Amen.
So we will have these victories, these affirming, victorious times. And just as sure as we are to have these victorious, overcoming, faith-affirming, obedience-rewarding times, you will always have, you will also have times where your faith is tested. Amen? Have your faith, has your faith ever been tested?
Amen.
Where God finds out, not just will you be obedient, but are you now spiritually mature? Can he trust you? Can he actually let go of your hand? You know how when you have a dog and you're walking him, some dogs drag you like this? But then there are dogs that they don't even have to be on a leash. And their master walks and they walk right by him, and the master stops and they stop. It tells you something about the relationship that's going on there. Amen? We want God to trust us like that, because there's going to be times when he's going to say, you need to grow up. You're not going to hear me every minute. In the beginning, when you first get saved, you say, and the nipple's right there. But then there's a time when you have to grow up, and he allows you to learn or to prove that you were ready for the test. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we're talking about spiritual maturity that is part of what comes along with walking with God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to chapter 7, verse 24, which is the next verse after what we were supposed to read. I know you guys read it already, but now we're going to focus on it. All of this has happened. Everybody's died. All we have is Noah left, victorious. Hallelujah. But we're going to focus. We're paying close attention to parts of the story that you may not have. It simply says, and the waters prevailed upon the earth. How long? 150 days. We focus on the 40 days and 40 nights. That sounds like something you can do, right? I can deal with that, especially if I come out the winner. But now we're testing your spiritual maturity. Now we're testing really the true strength of your conviction and the closeness of your relationship with God. Not only did it rain for 40 days, but understand that the springs were still welling up underneath. The water prevailed for 150 days, 5 whole months. This is a long time. When you think about the flood, you think of 40 days. Did you think about 5 months? Did you think about the fact that this thing that saved him, this ark, this miraculous thing, this amazing thing that honored his commitment, that he had to be in that thing for 5 whole months? How would you like to be for 5 months with the smell of animals all around you? 5 months now. 5 months with your relatives. I know you love them, but try being in a closed-in space with your relatives and with animal smell all around. After a while, you get on each other's nerves, wouldn't you? 5 months is a long time. Day after day after day. 5 months where if you were to look out one of the peepholes, all you would see is horizon. There are no mountains now. Realize there's nothing out there but the horizon, day after day after day after day. It's not like a bathtub where you can see the ring. So if the water went down, you can see the rings. It's not like that. It's not like a fish tank. All you see is nothingness for 5 whole months. Would you get discouraged? For 5 months, nothing but an empty horizon. For 5 months, now it's been a while. Is the food going to last? Uh-oh. That's why you got to go back to those instructions. God gave him instructions, not just about the animals, not just about his family. He also told him about the food. 5 months is a long time. 40 days is what we think about, but 5 months is what, how long the water indeed prevailed. For 5 months, it's easy to get to a point, just as in ministry, to get bored and to get discouraged because of the routine, and seemingly nothing is happening. Seemingly nothing is changing. After the glorious time when God blessed you and you knew he was with you, to the times when nothing seems to be happening. Is he really with me? How long is this going to take? You can't even see the finish line. It's easy to be discouraged. The exhilaration of the original moment and the victory are long gone. 5 months is a lot longer than we think of with the flood. And when it comes time to building spiritual maturity, the time can be long in the wilderness. Amen?
Amen.
Much longer than we would want. 5 months is long enough for us to get either physical or spiritual claustrophobia. It can get a little snug in there. Amen?
Amen.
We can get cabin fever and feel like we've got to do something. God hasn't moved, but we're supposed to move, and so we got to do something. Let's do something just so it looks like we're alive. Let's do something just so it looks like we're legitimate. Let's do something. But these 5 months were ordained by God. And if the 40 days seem long, let me just tell you, 5 months were a really long time. The dog days of summer, they call it in baseball. Amen? You can lose faith. Your faith can wane. Your vision of God's purpose for your life can start to get a little blurry, a little fuzzy. You can start to lose touch with God. But if you're walking with God, if you're truly walking with God, then you can handle those 5 months. Now, in real life for you, it may be longer than that. Longer than that while you wait. Wait longer than that while you pray. Longer than that while you listen, waiting to hear his voice. Longer than that while you look for the additional instructions. Longer than that while you have to trust that he's there through the valley of the shadow of death. Longer than that. Those days seem like they last forever. When things are going great, the days go by fast. When they're tough, they seem to last forever. I'm trying to tell you it's not 40 days. This was 5 months. But if you thought 5 months was long, let's go to chapter 8, verses 4 and 5. It reads, "And the ark rested in the 7th month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat." These are mountains over near in the Russia area. "And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen." So after 5 months, and that's a long time now, to be held up in this box with your family and the smelly animals and nothing to view. And understand, while the water was receding, they could not sense that the water was receding until the boat hit the mountain, because when you have nothing but a horizon and no reference points, you don't know that the water is receding. To you, times are still desolate. To you, times are still desperate. To you, it's still a matter of routine. To you, nothing's really changing. To you, nothing's really happening. To you, God maybe forgot you. But he's working in the background. The water is receding. You just don't know until the boat hits the mountain. God, just like with Job, there's a conversation going on. And it's dark, it's just before the dawn. But you don't feel the work that's happening. You can't see the work that's happening. So it's easy to go now 7.5 months. Not 40 days. 7.5 months. Wondering, when is this going to end? Wondering, when am I going to see anything in the horizon? Nothing but blankness. Maybe the occasional reminder, because the dead bodies would rise to the top. That's all you got. 7.5 months is a long time to get discouraged. It's easy to forget what God did for you. We get a job and we get happy. It's many times, but by 7.5 months, we're already thinking about another one. We're already no longer grateful for what we got. 7.5 months is long enough for us to be discouraged and forget. 7.5 months is long enough for us to get impatient. 7.5 months is long enough for us to listen to the voice that we shouldn't be listening to. 7.5 months is long enough for us to start questioning God and his wisdom or whether he cares. But as you can see here, at the 7.5 month, he started to see the peaks of the mountain. So God will put you through these tests. He will allow you to go through these stretches of time, but he will always give you reasons to have hope. And so as he saw the mountain peaks, he now for sure knows the mountains had to raise up or the water came down. So now there's some hope, but it's still 7.5 months. That's a very long time. Let's go to verse 6. It says, "And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made." Now, I just told you there were 40 days of the flood, of course, when it was raining. And ultimately, he had to be out there with the water prevailing for 5 months. And then 2.5 months later, he finally sees the peaks, and 40 days more, he opens up the window. Is this a long time? It can feel even longer when it's in your life and you are having difficult times and you can't quite see your way and your energy runs out and your encouragement runs low. Let's go to verse 13. It says, "And it came to pass in the 601st year of his life, in the first month, the first day of the month," what happened? Amen. Now, if you pay attention to the dates that you were given here in verse 5 and look at the dates that you were given here in verse 13, you will know that yet more than another 2.5 months went by before the ground, as it says here in verse 13, was dry. This is a very long haul. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if we read the entirety of verse 13, "And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month of the first day of the first month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked. And behold," he says, "the face of the ground was dry." That's great, right? It's fantastic. You've been going all these months. Would you be ready to get out of there? Would you be ready to get rid of the smell? Would you be ready to get rid of some of your relatives because they really got on your last nerve? Your mother-in-law is there constantly. Can you imagine? Judging whatever it is you do. Can you imagine what it would be like after all those months? You'll be ready to get out of there, and the ground is dry. What's the next move to do? What's the next thing to do? Get out. But Noah doesn't. He doesn't leave. Now, certainly the family is sick and tired of each other. Certainly those animals are really smelly by now. Certainly you've been desolate. Certainly you've been searching for land and you finally found it. And he's took the cover off and there is ground and it's dry. Of course, God's circumstantial will would be that you should go out. All of the stars are aligned. That must be God's will. It certainly looks like it. That's what I want. He knows my heart. He's made a way. Certainly looks like it. So therefore, that's God's will, right? Is that how you operate when you walk with God? If you're walking with God, you don't need to wonder. He's right there. Ask him. But we can claim to walk with God, and then we'll say, well, this happened, and that happened, and this happened, and you know, I kind of like that, and God knows my heart, and then this happened, and sure enough, girl, that must be God. Circumstantial will. I know God's will based on the circumstances. When the stars align, God's trying to send me, you know, a little clue. He's sending me a little nice message. He's playing charades with me. He's saying, you know, instead of just telling me I'm supposed to, it looks like, I'm supposed to figure out the clues. And that's how I know what God would want me to do. But when you walk with God, truly walk with God, you know his voice. And if you're holding his hand, when he moves, you move. This may seem overly simplistic to you, but the ground, the Bible says, what? Was dry. And yet Moses did not leave the ark. Can you imagine the titillation? Can you imagine the temptation? Can you imagine how you could rationalize in your mind? It must be time. But if you've gone through all of this, truly walking with God, why blow it? But it looks good. The Bible said the ground was dry. But you don't know it from verse 13. But when you read further, you know he did not step out. He took the cover off, but he did not step out. It was fool's gold, that ground. He had never experienced this. He wasn't some geologist. He didn't know that if he tried to walk on that ground that wasn't truly, truly, truly dry, that would basically be like quicksand to him. He didn't know this. He never experienced it. And yet, he saw for himself that the ground was dry. Yes, he had gone through all the stuff with the doves and all that sort of stuff, but by all this time, the ground is dry. He could see it for himself. Terra firma. It was terra, but it wasn't so firm. But he didn't know that. That's not why he didn't step out. Are you with me? Are you learning something about walking with God? Amen. You will get opportunities. You will get propositions. You may come up with your own ideas, but often they'll be brought to you prematurely. And they will line up with what you believe the purpose of God is. They will give you offers that don't come from God. And if you've gone so long and if you let his hand go, you might not think you can hear his voice. You better go back and find that last place where God was and find out what he wants you to do next. You will get fool's gold. You will get those offers. You will get those propositions trying to take away from you what you really ultimately deserve. Those propositions will promise you a more speedy recovery. Those propositions will offer you to solve your problems sooner than you would have with God's plan. God's plan didn't go nowhere. He actually hasn't changed his mind. The system he wants you to work is still working. But you want out sooner, as soon as possible. Guaranteed, you will be offered a proposition. Guaranteed. The stars will align. It will look like you ought to do. God wants you to graduate early. But if you're walking with God, then your hand is in his hand, and you're listening for his voice, and you care about pleasing him. And so you wouldn't do something that was against his plan. And he's so close to you, you may as well ask, right? So he didn't step out. If you're following God all this time, if you're going to follow instructions with the food and the animals and how high and how wide and what to use to make it and what animals to put in it, how many clean and unclean and all the cabins and everything, why blow it in the end? Why try to come up with your own idea when you've got the master carpenter, the master creator? Why take that chance? Oh, it looks dry. Oh, she looks holy. Oh, he looks like a great provider. Oh, it looks like a good job. Oh, it fits what I always personally wanted to do. Oh, it will get me the prestige that I know I'm destined for. Oh, it'll solve my problem sooner, even though God gave me a solution for it. Fool's gold. When you're walking with God, your finish is just as good as your start. When you're walking with God, you listen to him when you've got a problem to solve, when there's a flood that's coming, and you listen to him when it looks like everything's going to be all right. You don't lose your mojo when things start to look good. When you're walking with God, he can trust you in the good times and the bad. He can trust you when you're poor and when he gives you money. Like Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. Amen. that strengthens me. But I stay close enough to him to get the strength. Let's look at verses 14 through 16. And the second month, in the second month, on the 7th and 20th day, meaning the 27th day of the month, was the earth dried. How could the earth dry twice? It didn't dry twice. It was dry enough for you to call it dry. It was dry enough for you to justify and rationalize. It was dry enough the first time for you to say, yeah, that's God's will, but it's just circumstantial will, not perfect will. Oh, no, it was dry enough. It was dry to the eye. Can we trust our eyes? It was dry to the eye. So we can say it's dry and run on out there and sink and say, Lord, it was dry. Now you want him to save you. He says, I was right here. Why'd you let go of my hand? I thought you were listening for me. I didn't say anything. It says the ground was dry. And God spake unto Noah. That's what I've been waiting for. Oh, that's what I've been waiting for. It was so titillating. It was so tempting. I know what I want. I know what he promised. It was right there. But I waited. And so now God says, almost 2 more months later, sometimes your deliverance, sometimes your greatest perfect will in God, your greatest victory is only 2 months away. But can you wait? God spoke unto Noah saying, go forth of the ark. Now you can dance a jig. Thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives and thee. Now you can go forth knowing that you're in God's will. This is more than a 40-day journey. It's even more than a 5-month journey. Take a look real quickly at back at chapter 7, verse 11. It says it was the second month and the 17th day, right? 17th day of the month. So let's come back to chapter 8, verse 14. It's again the second month, is it not? The next day. Noah is 601 years old instead of 600 years old. And now it's the 27th day. How much time has passed? Second month, 17th day. Second month, 27th day. A year and 10 days. This ain't no 40-day journey. When you get that exuberant, that exhilarating feeling when God blesses you because you know you did the right thing and you find out that you did the right thing and you feel the blessing and you can see him so clear and you can feel him so close. And it's followed by those difficult times that test your armor, test your commitment, test your maturity, test your true faith in God, test whether you hold his hand and listen for his voice. So it's a year and 10 days. So what we have to keep in mind, historically, culturally, traditionally, is the fact that the Bible is written in lunar months, lunar years, and the Jewish calendar is written, is made in lunar months and years, just like the Chinese calendar. We use, in our culture, the solar calendar, based on the earth's rotation around the sun as opposed to the moon's rotation around us. So here's the thing. Lunar months are 29 and a half days. You can round it to 30 if you like. But a lunar year is 354 days long. So when he says the from the second month to the second month to the second month the next year on day 17, that's one lunar year. That's 354 years. Days, sorry. 354 days. Now you add 10 to that, what do you get? Come on now, be confident. 364. How many days do we have in our solar year? 365. Now, in order to reconcile those, that's why we have the leap year. And that's why you have 31-day months and all this sort of thing. The point is, this was no 40-day journey. When God is really giving you the opportunity to be tested. When you are walking the walk with God, you can be in his perfect will and times will get tough. The field will appear desolate. The horizon will appear empty. The water will be lowering, but you won't feel it. And it'll look like you can get your goods early. The real deal, it shows up in the long term. Anybody can do anything short term. But this isn't a 40-day journey. It's literally one full solar year. It's kind of interesting how that worked out. 364 days, a full solar year. And as always, what we've learned from this is that walking with God is kind of like a sandwich, to give you an analogy. God is faithful in the beginning. God is faithful in the end. And our faith and commitment is tested in the middle. Now, God is, of course, faithful all along. And if you wait long enough and you stick and stay long enough, he'll show you, he'll have your ship hit the top of a mountain and let you know, okay, the water has been going down. You just didn't know it. You just couldn't feel it. He'll give you a glimpse of the peaks of the mountain to keep you going, even though he still hasn't solved your problem. He'll give you a thought to reach out to him and get a little more hope by sending the bird out. And eventually the bird doesn't come back because the tough times are about to be over. But don't take the fake stuff. Don't take those propositions. Don't take the fool's gold. See it all the way through. But a year is a long time. It wasn't 40 days. This was a full year that this man's mettle was being tested. If you're walking with God, as a result of this message, you should be encouraged. Because God always provides you hope. You also know how the story ends. You win. But you won't win so much if you get out of the game early. You won't win if you let go of his hand. You won't win if you get too discouraged because things don't look so good in the middle. If you're walking with God, you can't lose. If you're walking with God, he's always available. Just listen. But if you're walking with God, you have to be patient. If you're walking with God, then you only want his perfect will. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, him to be the king and sovereign, right? His approval, his final judicial judgments, and then all this will be added unto you. It's all consistent. The Bible, even though it's constructed in a way that can cause people to punch holes all in it, it doesn't have to be literally perfect, literally word for word, because you can find little things in there for it to speak for God. It is very internally consistent. Just like we should be, amen?
Amen?
So don't let those tough stretches defeat you. Keep your hand in God's hand. Amen. And if you can't feel his hand, listen for his voice. And if you still can't hear his voice, or you haven't heard his voice, or you're not sure, just find the last place that you were with him, and he'll be waiting.